You're listening to Mucho Culture Radio, Community Voices.
Unforgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
My name is Bill Radford, and we have been here for 4 years, married to Tracy. We have 6 children, ranging in age from 31 to 16. Our youngest, Sam, is in grade 11 at C.P. Allen High School here in Bedford. I'm a hockey fan, Detroit Red Wings. Sorry, Canadians and Maple Leafs fans and Senators fans, but... grew up in Michigan, been married 34 years, and been in pastoral ministry for about 30 years. Well, I attended university in Michigan, at Eastern Michigan University, and it was there that I became a Christian and decided that I would go into full-time ministry vocationally. So for 10 years, I was with a group called, in Canada here, they call it Power to Change. And I was at Kent State University in Ohio, the famous Kent State song. You've probably heard the Neil Young song, if you're old enough. Jean-Vier, I know you're not old enough, but maybe you've heard it. So then in 1993, I took my family and our 4 children to Reformed Theological Seminary, where I got my Master's of Divinity degree. And then from there, I've been involved in church planting and revitalization, 2 churches in Indianapolis and 2 in the Chicago area. Well, not all the churches in the United States are large, just the ones you hear about. But you're right, on average, churches are bigger there. But then, of course, there are 10 times as many people in the United States as there are in Canada. And where I came from, the greater Chicago area, there were 9 million people, and there's 900,000 in Nova Scotia, so everything's bigger. But I had a very good friend who was a pastor, or is a pastor, and he lives in Vancouver, and he's quite connected to the churches in our denomination here in Canada. And so I called him and asked if he knew of anything or anybody who was in need of a pastor, and he gave me the names of 2 churches, one in Calgary, one in here in Halifax, and I ended up here. Well, my 4 oldest children did not come with us, so our 2 youngest, Joe and Sam, did. Joe has since moved back to Nashville, where he lives near our 2nd son, David. David and his wife, Leisha, and our only grandchild so far, Simon, live in Nashville. And David and Leisha are part of a band called the Grey Havens, and they're doing very, very well. They're touring right now. So Sam has adjusted really well. He's trying out for soccer for the high school team this afternoon. He's got a lot of good friends here. He loves it here. He wants to stay here, he says. So Canada has 1 convert, at least, in my son, Sam. And Tracy and I like it here as well. And we really like the diversity of our community. As you know, Jean-Vier, you attend our church. There are people from all over the world that come to our church. There are people from Nigeria, people from Burundi, people from Morocco, people from Vietnam, people from Korea and China. So, and there's a few from the United States, and the rest are Canadians. And it's quite a diverse group. Very much enjoy it. Well, we're part of it's called the Presbyterian Church in America. And in North America, there's approximately 1,400 congregations. There's just a few here in the Maritimes, and there's a few more in Ontario. I don't think there are any in Saskatchewan or Manitoba, but I know there are several in British Columbia and Alberta as well. So it's a growing denomination. It started in 1973, and I think there's somewhere around 500,000 people total in North America. Well, I think that our main goal is to help people understand the gospel. I mean, the gospel is good news, and that's what it means. But I think most people, when they think about Christianity in Canada, they think about it in terms of following the rules. You know, and if I do enough good things, then if I believe in a judgment day, God will reward me with going to heaven. The only problem with that is you never know if you've been good enough. So that's not really good news. Good news is, I'm going to quote a Bible verse. It's from Romans chapter 5. It says, God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news. The good news is I don't have to earn it. Christ has done it. He lived the life that I should have lived in my place, and he died the death that I deserve to die in my place, and he rose from the dead. So that's that to me is the most important thing, because if people believe the gospel, their lives change. If enough people believe the gospel, the community changes. And how do you know if you believe is the question. Most people in Canada, I would say if you ask them, do you believe in God, most people will say yes. Most of those would probably identify as Christians. Yet, only about 10% of Nova Scotians actually go to church, which is a surprising number. So what's happened? Can I give you an illustration? I'm going to talk about a painting. I know you love art. People buy paintings for different reasons. You might buy it because it goes with the decor. One of the paintings we have in our home is Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night over Rhone. Okay, it's not the original. We have that in a vault. No, I'm kidding. Jean-Vier is actually laughing. You probably just can't hear it. But it goes very well with our decor, but that's not why I have it. But some people buy paintings that go with their decor. Some people buy them as an investment. You know, they hear about an artist that's up and coming, and they think, you know, I'm gonna get in on the ground floor, and then that way, when he becomes famous or in the art community, if he dies, you know, then the painting will be worth a lot of money, and I can cash in. But another reason to get a painting is because you just absolutely love it. They're not the originals, obviously, but like I said, we have Starry Night over Rhone, and we also have a copy of The Prodigal by Rembrandt. They're just beautiful paintings, and I love them. And I don't love them because they go with the decor or because they're an investment. I love them because they're beautiful to me. So I want to compare that with the gospel as in terms of how do you know if you believe? Well, a lot of people grow up, for instance, in Quebec, maybe 50 years ago, maybe even just 30 or 40 years ago, I think the statistic is something like 70% of the people would regularly go to church, most of those to Mass, to Catholic Mass. Now it's something along the line of 10%. So what happened? If you live in the United States, for instance, if you live in Alabama, you go to church, because that's just what people do. It goes with the decor. But then if you move to Vancouver, it doesn't go with the decor anymore. And if the only reason you were going to church and said you believed was because everybody else was, as soon as you go somewhere where that's not the case, it's easy to let it go. Some people think, you know, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do things for God, and that way he will reward me, or my life will go better, or I'll get more money. You know, there are people, they're mostly in the United States, not in Canada, but there's a few in Canada. There are people who will tell you that if you believe the right things, that you'll always be healthy, that you'll be wealthy, and you won't have any problems. So then what happens when something goes bad in your life? You think, well, this doesn't work, and you give it up. But if you believe the gospel because Jesus is beautiful to you and the message of the gospel is beautiful to you, then it doesn't matter what happens. You're not going to give it up. And it doesn't matter if things go poorly in your life on this earth, you're not going to give it up. Because even if the decor changes, even if things don't seem like they're paying off, you still love him because he loved you first. And when you know that you're loved by the most important person in the universe, you can serve other people in the community out of a full heart. You're not doing it to try to gain anything. You're not doing it to try to be rewarded by anybody. You're doing it out of a heart filled with gratitude and love toward the God who saved you, even though you didn't deserve it. So I really think that the gospel is the key to building a better community. You know, there's a lot of people that will say religion's the problem in the world. You know, they'll say, if we just get rid of religion, you know, John Lennon wrote the song, "Imagine There's No Heaven. It's easy if you try. No heaven, no hell below us, above us only sky." So he's imagining a world where nobody believes in God, nobody believes in heaven or hell, and he thinks that would be very peaceful. The only problem with that is we've had that. The Soviet Union, the China under Mao, Cuba. All of these places were places where there was no belief in God from the government officially, and people who believed in God were punished. And the estimates are somewhere between 1 and 200 million people were killed, not by wars, but by the government that was atheistic. Hitler tried to replace all of the crosses in the churches in Germany with swastikas. So when people kill in the name of religion, now I'm a Christian, so I can only speak about Christianity. When they're violent and kill in the name of religion, they're violating the teaching of the religion. And I know some of our Muslim friends say the same thing, that people who commit terrorism in the name of Allah are violating Islam. I'm not an expert on Islam, so you can ask them, but I'm sure they'll tell you that those people who are committing violent acts in the name of God are violating the very religion they say that they're supporting. I know that's the case for Christianity. Racism has no place in Christianity. There's a place in the Bible, in I think it's the book of Galatians, where it says there's no Greek or Jew or male or female, but we're all one in Christ. Now, when they say Greek or Jew, they're giving an example of all ethnicities. Excuse me. So, I think that's the answer to the question: is that violence done in the name of God is virtually always a violation of the religion that they say they're supposedly advancing. Well, one thing you can do is you can go to our website. It's brand new today, actually. It's bedfordpca.org. Our service is at 10:30 on Sunday morning. We have Bible studies that are ongoing different times during the week. And if there's not one that is convenient for you, we'll get a few people together. We'll start another one. On the September the 19th, we're having a praise night at 7 o'clock. You can come. It doesn't matter whether you're from our church or any other church, or if you don't go to church, you can come and enjoy a night of praise music from our musicians who are very talented, Matt and Kate Buston. And then if you would like to be part of a prayer group, you can talk to me if you come to church, or you can go on the website and send me an email, and we'll get you in touch with the right people. So, but I'd say probably the first place you want to start is our website, and that has all the information that you'll probably need to get started.
You're listening to Mucho Culture Radio, Community Voices. Have a good time with Mucho Cultural Radio.